Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I had my chance, but I couldn't come through. But I still got the same sweet feeling for you, baby.
From newsounds.org and WNYC in New York, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. Live performances and interviews here in the studio. I'm John Schaefer. Liz Wright is often referred to as a jazz or a gospel singer, and she certainly does sing both of those styles. But she's also comfortable with blues, R&B, and the Great American Songbook. Her latest album is called Shadow, and it features striking versions of songs by Cole Porter, Sandy Denny, and others. But it also includes a number of Liz Wright's own songs, which wander freely among the many genres of American music. Here she is with her band to play some of them, beginning with a song called Sparrow.
Sweet sparrow, I miss your song. Why have you been gone for so long? I know you're out there somewhere, flying on your own. When you're done with trouble, find your way back home. I know the wind is rising, throwing everything, tears, clouds, and ashes. It's hard to sing. I'll be your refuge. Come into my arms. Let it rain. Let it rain. Storm that broke the lake. We were so young, so afraid. Standing there in the doorway, whispering to God, praying for mercy. Thank you.
howling rain, we started singing that old song again. Our voices rising, turning and turning, voice of a chorus.
What a great performance that is from Liz Wright and her band of the song called Sparrow, which is from Liz's new record called Shadow. Let me introduce you to that band. They're all making return appearances in our studio. Adam Levy on guitar, some backing vocals. Marvin Sewell on guitar. Ben Zwirin on bass and some backing vocals. Jack DeBow behind our drum kit. And Liz, it seems on the surface to be a pretty simple song, but it's full of kind of allusions, references to other Rise Up Singing, you know, Gershwin, Sparrow. I mean, as someone who grew up in the church, I'm sure you grew up singing His Eye Is on the Sparrow.
Oh, yes.
So were all those things kind of going through your head as you were writing this song?
You know, John, I was mostly remembering an experience of a tornado that moved through the town where I grew up, and just for the sake of writing, pretended to be reminding my sister of this. And then, as you said, there are all these pieces of symbolism and alignment that are just already planted in me from, you know, church and, you know, the jazz influence and so many other things.
Right. Well, I mean, you've been at this for 20 years now, so you've accumulated a fair amount of experience.
That always sounds so wild. That I've done anything for 20 years.
On the record, the song features some vocals by our friend Angelique Kidjo.
Yes.
The great West African singer who lives in Brooklyn and Paris. She's singing in
Yoruba.
Yoruba.
Yes.
And is it in a sort of a counterpoint to what you're singing?
It is. You know, of course, I gave her a lyric sheet, and I just, besides the lyric sheet, it was a bit of a wish list of little comments on there, like a long call here, a short one here, but whatever you want in whatever language you want. And so when she sent me the translation, it was really beautiful.
I looked at you.
what an honor to have her write those lines.
Right. Not the first time that you and she have worked together.
Exactly. When I graduated, I still lived here, from the Natural Gourmet Institute, I went straight into the Nina Simone Tribute, where I got to spend a lot of time with Angelique and Dine Reeves and Simone Kelly, Nina's daughter, and a few members of her band. So it was quite an experience.
So there is still, although you live in Chicago, there is still a pretty strong New York connection, you know, with the musicians that you surround yourself with. Michelle Indighiocello once again is on this record. And that's been there, it seems, from very early on.
Yeah, New York is a place where I, you know, had some great memories and I guess some formidable experiences as an artist, as a woman, as a cook, and I will always feel very at home here for those reasons. Yeah.
The song that introduced you to many people was "Hit the Ground" from the TV series House, and you co-wrote that with two of New York's finest, and not that they're cops or anything, but the two of New York's finest musicians, Jesse Harris and Toshi Regan.
Yes.
See your eyes in mine. Leave the rest behind. Hit the ground, baby, 'cause I want to love.
These are like bonds that have stood the test of time.
For sure, for sure. Toshi is family. Chris Bruce is family. Jesse Harris is family. You know, I know that I can, you know, come back to them, to just for a good meal or to write something or to just, you know, ponder whatever. You know, they're really great people and really fun to write with.
All right. Somehow food and cooking have been mentioned three times already. So let me follow. No, hey. So what is your, do you specialize? I mean, do you have a particular type of food that you like to, that's your go-to?
Not necessarily. My dad grew most of our food as far as produce growing up, and then we also would pick things from local orchards. So I really like whatever I can get my hands on that's in season or that I need that might not be in season. I like things composed but still really simple.
Uh-huh.
I'll kind of make whatever, but I suppose I always think of it as like a family on a farm. There's something for everybody to eat, and it's just not too complicated and clean. That's kind of it for me.
So we're not talking about molecular cooking or anything like that?
No, I think God's done a fine job with that part of things, you know. I'd like to do big crayon strokes with produce and things, nothing too heavy.
The album is called Shadow. What is casting the shadow over this record? Because it does seem like there's a kind of connection to your songs and the songs you've chosen to cover.
Oh, thanks for saying that, John. You're so sweet for saying that. I really enjoyed approaching this record as a writer. What's really fun, I have to say, in answering this about the folks in this room is that, you know, most of them participated in writing and arranging and playing. This record, from the idea to even make a record with Chris Bruce producing, stretched across some time that embraced the long ramp of my grandmother in her transition and phases of dementia. But she's like my favorite person, who's been, and she really she was just super deep and discerning and funny and just a very rooted person, and she could be encountering anybody, and she could see you. I don't know how she was like that. And so a lot of this is about trying to find a way to say goodbye to her so that I could let it be. But also, I'm amazed at how willful she was with the energy and the clarity that she had in pockets. She would always make a memory, you either laughing or being told something you'll never forget.
Wow. So her shadow
Shadow is, yeah, I mean, it's the removal of comfort, of structure, of certainty, of the known, of the obvious, and it's, you know, trying to see what still speaks to you in that place.
Let's hear another song from you. You want to do Circling next?
Sure.
On the record, this is one of the simpler tracks, it seems.
I enjoy this song because it just challenges me. I used to have a voice teacher named Teresa Alexander, and she was so strict. And when she got angry with me, she would turn red, and she had red hair. She was terrifying, but she was really great. And she would never let me sing, you know, second alto and tenor all day. She would make sure that I kept my full range alive. And I always think of her when I'm pushing my instrument to keep it open, you know.
All right, let's hear a live performance. Liz Wright and the band. The new album is called Shadow. Circling is on it, but let's hear a live performance.
Every time I close my eyes, I get this feeling. This could be easier. This could be more like a dream. Circling in my mind, sometimes I'm open, comfortable in the unknown. Let it unfold. In your light I tremble when nothing seems to cover me. I lose myself, I lose my breath between your soul.
why don't you move me to the mystery and the music you
Circling is the name of the song. Liz Wright and her band live in the studio, a song from her new record called Shadow. And you said something just before singing that I want to come back to, Liz. When you're talking about your teacher saying, I don't want you hanging out in second alto or tenor anymore. So what is your natural range vocally? Where do you sit in the soprano, mezzo, alto, tenor, baritone, bass thing?
I tried to answer that in a smart way for a composer earlier today. And I said, like tenor to first alto.
Huh.
No. I have no idea if that... I mean, it makes some sense, but I know that's not how you officially answer that.
And why was a composer... Is somebody writing interested mm-hmm. in writing something for you? Really?
Yes, something at North Sea this summer. So I just... it was...
The North Sea Jazz Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, we think of tenor as the domain of men, but of course there are women, you know, the great Marian Anderson, Nina Simone could go down there she wanted
Cassandra
to.
Cassandra Wilson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How high can you go?
As I told him this morning, the colors change, the qualities change, but I've been trained as a second soprano, so if I warm up, you know, there's life up there.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's a place to sing the blues. I doubt that seriously. But
right.
I hear my range as a palette of colors, so mm-hmm. I just try to use it
to fit the song.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, we on our website at newsounds.org, we premiered your cover of Sweet Feeling when that came out back in the fall of 23. And what I liked about it was the kind of slinky sound of the... I mean, you know, it's a very different vocal texture from what we got on Circling, for example, because it's a very different song.
Oh, darling, you are always there. Oh, yes, you were. I had my chance, but I couldn't come through. But I still got the same sweet feeling for you, baby.
What about, having studied singing and you studied cooking. Mm-hmm. I mean, were both of these just things that you wanted to master, or did one or the other seem like it might be a career path for you?
You know, I realized, John, that there was some method to what I was doing, but not until after I was well into cooking and singing at the same time, because this is how I grew up. You know, my father grew a lot of food in like a quarter acre garden, and you know, we worked out there because that's how it was. That's what he did when he was a kid. And he also, took food to church where he was a pastor, and so you know, I had a couple of jobs teaching Sunday school and, you know, learned to be a music director there. It's a tiny little storefront church, a converted little clinic in Montezuma, Georgia. But yeah, I realized as I went to culinary school here in New York and I just started really thinking about food that I really was trying to practice composition, to have a spiritual and mental health practice of service because that's just good for me. And that I, yeah, this cycle is, it speaks to me. I like being around and with the people. I like what I feel.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
It's really interesting that you use the word composition so closely to the word culinary. Because when you make a meal, you are actually composing something.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think also as a African American, I think there is an incredible grace and deliverance that the people give you when they listen to you, like really listen. It covers a multitude of things that you can't, you know, you can't change right at the moment.
Yeah.
It does a lot. And so something about trying to find another way to speak where people could receive me is really helpful. And I think singing and being in front of, you know, rooms full of strangers just gave me a lot of courage to want to keep working on my voice and my thoughts and not wait by the phone to be called for a gig. So
right.
That's part of it too, you know.
Right, right. I mean, I think for anyone who's followed your career long enough, I mean, you started singing Billie Holiday songs, right? That was a long time ago. To hear you sing Cole Porter's I Concentrate on You, as lovely as it is, not a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy Denny's Who Knows Where the Time Goes, a song I've always loved. How did you come to know the music of this wonderful but ill-starred English folk singer of the 70s?
I blame that one on Joe Henry.
Really? The singer-songwriter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he produced my record before last, Grace, and Joe is... Joe actually, as romantic and as much of an artist as Joe Henry is, he's actually a very organized person. And so he had this list of like about 80 songs, and I was very freaked out by this title. Just because I didn't like the idea of thinking about time and about myself aging as like a vocalist, yeah. So I need this stuff, right? but it never left me, and I started singing it live, and I've sang it now for the last, you know, 3 years.
Where the time goes, who knows where the time goes.
It feels so beautiful and courageous. I mean, I sometimes really grow into songs. I love, you know, doing songs and working with people that give me a chance to grow.
Well, and also within the context of the album's broader background, mm-hmm. you know, your grandmother passing, who knows where the time, no matter how long her transition was, it must have been like, where did it go? What just happened?
Yeah.
You know, where did the time go?
Yeah.
One of the other covers that really struck me on the new record is Lost in the Valley, which is not an old song.
Mm-hmm.
That's Caitlin Canty.
Uh-huh.
Send me where the sunlight bends. I'll find it by and by.
One of the things that struck me about it is the fiddle solo is not like a country, I mean, it's clearly an Indian,
yes,
South Asian violinist.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that?
It's Trina and Arun, and they are really
Trina
good.
Basu and Arun,
yes,
Ramamurthy from,
yes,
here in New York.
From here, yeah.
Okay, all right.
This was really a beautiful... moment where I followed Chris. You know, Chris Bruce is a beautiful musician and producer, and he made beautiful, unusual choices that were just thrilling. So this was definitely one of them. And when I heard the final mix, I remember exactly where I was sitting. I bought equipment to listen to that song, you know, to listen to those solos. So it was really, really thrilling.
It adds a really, to go back to the culinary metaphor, it adds a very interesting note of spice to what is otherwise a very kind of American sounding song.
Mm-hmm.
Let's listen to Your Love, which on the record has another couple of New Yorkers. We've mentioned Michelle Indigiocello,
uh-huh.
longtime friend and colleague of yours. And on harp, Brandy Younger,
yes.
who's also been here and seems to be everywhere these days. So how does that do you and Chris think this song needs a harp, or do you think here is a person that I want to bring in? How can I do that?
Well, I make records with people that I really want to learn from and to just play with. It's a long, open conversation. And that was another place where Chris made a design move and suggested it, and I thought it was beautiful. I'd heard about Brandy, and I'd watched, awards be set for her at the Jazz Music Awards. You know, they kept calling her name, and I was like, okay.
All right, well, let's hear this live version of the song Your Love. It's another of Liz Wright's originals from her new record called Shadow. That is Your Love, live performance by Liz Wright and her band of a song that's on her new record called Shadow. Was that written in close proximity, time-wise, to Sparrow?
Yes. I asked Jack over here for the longest time to send me a drum loop to write to, because I love the way he plays. And finally, he sent me something. And this was the fastest one. I was alone in a room for, you know, about 2.5 hours, and most of it was there.
Wow.
But yeah, it was written around that time, and it was really easy to...
Well, here's why I ask. Uh-huh. Because Sparrow, uh-huh, you borrow the line about rise up singing from Gershwin's Summertime, and now here, you know, walk around singing, wake me up, the idea of mourning and still singing. I mean, the image is pretty close.
You know? Oh, well, you are aware of some lines I didn't even draw, and that's actually really cool. No, it's wonderful. It's like therapy and energy. And much of it is my dad's fault. A lot of these are also me not running away from, but really trying to find a playful relationship with a lot of these kind of biblical themes too. Mm. You know, that's where a lot of that comes from for me, and it's kind of wild how much of it still comes up the further I seem to be away, you know,
right,
from my childhood.
Well, the last time you were in this room was when we had just moved into this studio in 2008. You had done The Orchard. Mm-hmm. And for that record, you had gone back to Georgia, mm-hmm, to the roads and the fields, but also that church, mm-hmm, in Georgia. Mm-hmm. Do you do any of that kind of thing anymore? Or is it just such a part of your DNA that you don't need to?
You know, I'm trying. It's so funny to figure out who I am outside of that. What's really strange to me is that outside of now, just seeing my family, this stuff still just comes up on its own. So I don't know how long it'll take me to wear it off.
Do you want to?
Not necessarily, I guess, but it's what comes up, you know. I'll tell you something funny that I've never told anyone on an interview.
Well, it's just you and me. You know, no one else is listening,
go ahead. We good, right? Really, though, I did get high one time in my life, like super, super high. And it was just, you know, it was just weed. And I was like, let me explore this. Let me figure out what, this is of the earth. This may be the one thing I'd learn about. I'm good. But I did try that one time to a real extent. And I was like, you know what? Whatever happens to me, what comes out is the gospel. I got really high and I went in the bathroom and I could hear a choir. And I was like, I could hear all these parts, and I was conducting and just singing. I was like, you know what? I can't do this. The same thing is in me no matter what happens. I'm like a salt shaker. It's like there's no adventure in me doing anything like this, because you're still going to hear the gospel. And then it gets weird if I get to it a different way, but it is what's in me, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you can slap a curry sticker on that salt shaker, but it's still going to be salt
it's
coming
out. It's still salt, yeah. Yep, no use.
Well, Liz, the album Shadow is full of great songs, many of which you've written yourself. Thank you so much for bringing the band in and playing some of them for us today.
It's such a pleasure, John. They're such a joy, and they're great artists on their own, so it's just nice to be in a circle with great musicians.
Adam Levy and Marvin Sewell on guitars, Ben Zwirin on bass, Jack DeBow behind our drum kit, and, of course, Liz Wright singing. And Irene Trudell is our technical director down the hall in the video control room is our producer, Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. You can keep up with everything we're doing on New Sounds by subscribing to our free weekly newsletter. Text New Sounds to 70101 or sign up on the website at newsounds.org. But that's not all.